Wednesday, 11/5/25. This is part 18 of How Faith Works. We're going to talk about the faith like Jesus today. John chapter 9, starting with verse 1. Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent." He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he." Therefore said they unto him, "How were thine eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash,' and I went and washed, and I received sight." Then said they unto him, "Where is he?" He said, "I know not." They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day, when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, "He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see." Therefore said some of the Pharisees, "This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." Others said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, "What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself." These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, "He is of age, ask him." Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Then said they to him again, "What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples?" Then they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." The man answered and said unto them, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." They answered and said unto him, "Wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they'd cast him out. When he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye would have no sin, but now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Let's go to John 14. Starting with verse 6 there. Going to be a little scripture reading. I'm setting a precedent here. This is John 14, starting with verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So Jesus is saying, he's not doing the works. It's Jesus doing the work. It's God in him doing the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall I do because I go unto my Father. Whosoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So Jesus did what the Father said do. Jesus said it's not him doing the works, but the Father in him doing the works. Okay, we're going to read 15. I'm the vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Now I want you to hear that scripture, if you've not heard any other thing I've said. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you continually in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, and a man laying down his life for his friends. You're my friends if ye do whatsoever I command. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Okay, Romans 8, 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we're to operate just like Jesus operated. We are to follow the Spirit just like he did. He said the Father did the works in him. He did not do the works himself. He did not move out independently from the Father. And he was the first son. And now as born-again Christians, we are a son of God. And that's how we follow God. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hitherto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Most of our suffering is a result of putting the flesh under control. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. John 10, the first five verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they follow his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. He's the way. Okay, verse 8 and 10. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Okay, 10. I am the thief, The thief cometh not before to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The other verses of that, 24. Starting with 24 there. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Okay, let's do 11. We're going to see how Jesus operated. He didn't just do his thing. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Why didn't he go? His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. The Lord's bringing this up right now, and you can take it however you want it, or whoever's listening to this tape. What if Jesus, in his emotions, had rushed to his friend? What would have happened? Lazarus probably would have died, and he wouldn't have been raised from the dead, that's for sure. Jesus took the time to wait on the Holy Spirit to hear what he needed to do. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. Now he's to blame, huh? Because he didn't go when they thought he should have gone. People always wanting to pull on you. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask God, God will give it thee. Can you save? If we had a situation like that you wouldn't emotionally rush to the occasion? Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When she had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town. He was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou didst been here, my brother had not died. There it is again.
criticism from the fam or from the friends. It's your fault because you didn't come. Jesus was obeying. He was waiting on the Lord.
When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" See, it's his fault. He's dead because Jesus didn't come when he needed to, in their opinion. Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a grave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Well, they weren't a blabbing now, were they? If Jesus hadn't obeyed God, Lazarus probably would have died anyway, because he was sick. And he certainly wouldn't have been raised from the dead. See, people want to pull on you to get you to do things that they want you to do, but God says no. You've got to wait. This miracle would not have happened if they had not have waited. See, Jesus knew, and I don't know if they knew or not. Evidently, by the way they talked, they didn't know. Jesus knew he couldn't raise Lazarus from the dead. He's the Son of Man. Only the Father could do it, because it was the Father in him doing the works. It's the same way with us. We can't do anything of ourselves, and if we don't wait on the Lord, okay, I'll leave that there. Okay, this is the God kind of faith. If we are to do the works that Jesus did, and even greater, so he said, we will have to learn to follow the Spirit like Jesus did. We must cease from our own works. Okay, Isaiah 40. I've seen the word of faith differently with this teaching than I've ever seen it. I said, "Lord, we've missed it more than we thought." Starting with 29. Well, let's just do 28. "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding." He knows everything. "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." You cannot mount up if you don't wait. You can't do it. There are a lot of people doing a lot of religious stuff and calling it God, but God is not in any of it. Faith is not based off of emotions. Romans 10:17. If it was, Jesus would have rushed to Lazarus' side.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus waited to hear. Then faith came to raise Lazarus from the dead. We thought we had to make our long confession list and do our mantras. No, it's not the God kind of faith. It's works of the flesh. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why you wait. The blind man heard the word of God. Lazarus was raised up because Jesus heard the word of God to raise him up. Jesus couldn't move independently. He didn't have the power. The Father in him was doing the works, not him. Hebrews 4. I read this, I believe, last week, but I'm going to read it again. It's about the rest of God. It means resting from your works. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. We're waiting. And he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if ye shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Do you get that statement? Everything that's ever been done was done before the foundation of the world. God has a plan for every single thing, every walk of faith, every step of faith, every prayer that's prayed. He has a plan if we will wait long enough to get the word of faith to change the situation. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Why? They started working it. Yeah, well, let's get out of God's medicine. Let's get out all of these books, and let's start doing our mantras. Let's start hitting it every day, three times a day. And we wonder why we just don't get no results. Again, he limped a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you hear his voice, you can't have the word of faith without his voice. When he spoke, the Spirit hovered over the waters. He got the word and spoke it, spoke the worlds into existence. That's how faith works. I'm talking the God kind of faith. I'm not talking about the faith movement type of faith that sees more people probably going to doctors and as much as anybody else. Again, he limited the certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Quit going your own way. Quit working it your way. Wait on me. When you wait on me, then you can mount up. You'll have the word of faith, and you can speak it, and it'll happen. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. See, God wants us to wait on him because he wants to perform it. He wants to do it in us just like he did it in Jesus. For he that has entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Oh, no more struggle. It takes the struggle out of the faith walk for me. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man should fall after the example of unbelief. Anything that's other than that is unbelief. If we're working it in the flesh, it's unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's where we're to go. We're not to start doing our thing. We're to go before the Lord and ask him, Lord, what do I do about this? What do you say about this? And I wait on you. And then you get the word. And then that works when you speak that word. No more disappointment. Faith is triggered by hearing the word of God. Isn't that his instructions to us? As we wait, we hear, then we mount up and obey the instructions. Nearly a year ago, Thanksgiving will be a year ago, the Lord instructed me to pray over one of my afghans that I made based on this scripture. This is Acts chapter 19. Very simple, plain instructions. Verse 11 to 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. I just obeyed. We know who gave the afghan to him, and we know that he's well for a whole year now, and he's still well. Very simple instructions. And look what God did. I didn't have to pray for hours for him. I didn't have to make confessions or do anything like that. I just heard the word of the Lord, and I just did what he said, and look what the Lord did. He did the works. I didn't do anything. I just obeyed him. It's that simple for all of us. Okay. This is a day in the life of Jesus. You know, we've used word of faith to get all kinds of things, or trying to get all kinds of things, and we've totally missed it. It's about doing Father's works. It's about allowing Father's works. That's what he uses. He uses faith. He's a God of faith. Us learning to operate in his kind of faith, then we all we have to do is hear his instruction, and then we just carry it out. And he does the miracles and the things. This guy getting healed is a miracle. He was dying. He was in bad shape. Homebound. Couldn't even hardly get up out of a chair all day. He was dying. And God healed him. Just because someone simply just heard what he said and just did it. Okay. Mark 11. Talking about Jesus' faith. How he operated. Starting with verse 1 there. When they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany and the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. If any man say unto you, Why do you do this? Ye say that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where 2 days ways met, and they loose him. That sounds like instructions, doesn't it? God told Jesus, Jesus told them. And certain of them that stood there said unto him, Why do ye loose the colt? And they said unto him, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strode them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into the temple, and when he had looked round about, upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out
unto Bethany with the 12. Now, he went into the temple. He was observing what was going on. But he didn't do anything. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Why didn't he do that the day before? He was observing what was going on, but he didn't have clearance from Father to do anything about it, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, It is written, My house should be called of all nations a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the Pharisees heard it and saw how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at the doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Jesus said it was the Father in him doing the works, that he did not move out independently of the Father. He heard what the Father said do, and he did what the Father told him to do. Jesus said he wasn't doing the works, but his Father in him was doing the works. Jesus was just the vessel like we are. He was the firstborn among many brethren. We can confess and do our little mantras, but it does not amount to a hill of beans unless the Holy Spirit is in it. It is not about our work, period. We thought by saying it repeatedly, hearing the word repeatedly, it would happen. I think we have missed the mark here. His word is for his assignments. It is to do his works. We think if we just hear it enough, the right thing will come up. But I don't believe that's what that means. I believe it means faith comes by hearing the word, like be that word. No wonder the Holy Spirit said to you, you might as well be praying the rosary, you. The rosary, you. See, I didn't get it wrong that time. Works of the flesh and faith do not mix. Just a few more scriptures. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It's not blab it and grab it. Whatever the situation is, wait. When the word comes, then you can mount up. In the beginning, God said, will you hear and obey or just keep doing it your way? How's that working out for you? Everything you will ever need has already been supplied. We just need to get the word on it. Not just any word, but God's word. Two more scriptures. Hebrews 4:3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. We're just carrying it out as Father gives us instructions. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let me just read that out of the Amplified. But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom, his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together shall be given you besides. So do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble.